This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لا إله إلا
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of the Twins of Faith show, the show all about gaining knowledge and acting upon it. I'm your host, Dean, and as always, we have Sheikh Taufik Chaudhry. How are you doing, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah.
Now, viewers, our topic for today is sadaqah, charity, giving charity to everyone. Now, Sheikh, what is giving charity, sadaqah, in Islam?
Sadaqah comes from the word sidq, which means truthfulness, right? Mm-hmm. And it was derived from the word sidq because charity actually is a sign of sidq, a sign of truthfulness. Truthfulness to what? Truthfulness to many things. Truthfulness of your love for your brother. Mm-hmm. Truthfulness of the presence of iman in your heart. Mm-hmm. Truthfulness of the love for the hereafter rather than the love for this dunya. Yes. So because you are attesting to the truthfulness of all of these things, sadaqah was called sadaqah because ultimately it's a testimony of truthfulness towards these things that you possess in your heart.
Right. So now you've given the explanation of what is sadaqah. Mm. But what's the difference between sadaqah, charity, and zakat? What is the difference there between the two?
Sometimes the Quran uses them simultaneously. Uses sometimes when Allah says as-sadaqah, then he means the sadaqah or the greater sadaqah, which is charity, which is the obligatory charity, which is zakat. And in fact, it was used for that purpose originally. Thereafter, when the zakat was made clear of how much zakat is due, then after anything on beyond that was called sadaqah, and that which was the obligatory amount was specifically called zakat.
Okay. So is giving charity in general an obligation? Or just the zakat, the part of zakat?
Well, initially, before zakat was made obligatory in its current form, yes, to give charity in general was obligatory. Mm-hmm. And Allah said that in the Quran, initially, right after salah was made obligatory, then a portion of wealth from our income and our wealth was made obligatory to give to those people in need. When Allah says in the Quran, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, and in their wealth is an amount well known for those who ask and those who are the mahrum, those people who are close to you. So this was revealed in Mecca. This was before zakat was made in its present form, the 2.5% and the X amount of sheep in X amount of sheep, etc. All of these things were made clear. That only happened in Medina. But before that, general sadaqah was made obligatory upon believers as a testimony of their love and their affection for their brothers and the testimony of their love for the hereafter.
Okay. That's amazing, and as always, a very comprehensive explanation. Now, can you give us an example of how the pious predecessors were concerned about zakat and how they prioritized it?
Well, the pious predecessors, they understood the real importance of zakat. Mm-hmm. They understood how important zakat really was, and they remembered that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the most charitable of all. In fact, in the authentic hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, "Kana Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam من أجود الناس وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان حين يلقاه جبريل فيدارسه القرآن." Authentic hadith in Bukhari where Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most charitable of people, and he was even more charitable than the rih al-mursala. He was more charitable than a wind that comes with it numerous blessings, rain and beautiful weather, etc. And he was even more charitable in Ramadan. So not only was the Prophet the most charitable of people, in Ramadan he was even more charitable than that. And to give you an example how charitable the Prophet ﷺ was, the Prophet ﷺ used to say that, "I don't wish that Allah gives me a mountain of Uhud of gold in the morning, except that by nightfall I've given everything out in the cause of Allah." Another authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, right after he finished his Isha prayer, normally he would make dhikr and make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, but then he rushed back home, and then the Prophet ﷺ came back right after that. So the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, what happened? He said, as I was praying, I remembered that I had a gold coin in my house. Wow. And I didn't want time to pass except that I had given away it away in charity. And the Prophet ﷺ, you know, he was so charitable that he used to tell Bilal, and Bilal was not a very wealthy man. Mm-hmm. He used to tell Bilal, said, Bilal, anfiq wa la takhsha min dhil arshi iqlala. He used to say, Bilal, give and don't be afraid that the one who possesses the throne will ever, ever withhold from you. Meaning Allah will give you. Allah will not keep you in poverty. That's Allah true. Hasn't. That's Allah has true. Always looked after us. So why are we so afraid of giving in charity? Another authentic hadith, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he was a messenger from another tribe. And the Prophet ﷺ gave him da'wah, he accepted Islam, and he gave him a gift. And the gift was an amazing gift. I mean, if you think about it, it blows your mind away. Mm-hmm. He gave him a valley of sheep.
Wow.
You can imagine how much sheep there was.
That's a lot of sheep.
Hundreds and hundreds of sheep. Yeah, hundreds of sheep. As a gift. As a gift. Yani, look at the generosity of this poor Prophet of God. That he would give, subhanAllah, without even thinking, yani, wow. Not being worried, you know? And this is why this man went back to his people mm-hmm. and said, Ya qawm aslimu, aslimu, O my people, accept Islam, fa'inna muhammadan yu'ti ata'a rajulin la yakhshal faqr. Verily, Muhammad gives a giving of a man who does not fear poverty. Wow. SubhanAllah. And thus his sahaba were like that as well. Mm-hmm. There was a man by the name of Abu Dahdah, radiallahu anhu, who gave his whole orchard in the cause of Islam. One of the orphans needed a property, and he had there was a particular date palm tree that the orphan needed, and the man who had the date palm tree just wouldn't sell it to the orphan. And the orphan came to the Prophet ﷺ, started crying and saying, Ya Rasulullah, I need that date palm tree. The man just wouldn't sell it. So the Prophet ﷺ offered him a lot of money to sell it, still wouldn't sell it. So Abu Dahdah had the best date palms in all of Medina. He went to Rasulullah ﷺ and he heard about this situation. He went to the guy and said, oh, so and so, would you want 1,000 date palm trees that has the most beautiful dates in all of Medina for that one date palm, And the man agreed. He was like, "What? Who's crazy enough to do this?" And so at that point, the man gave his date palm, and Abu Dahdah gave his whole date palm to the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so the Prophet ﷺ smiled and he said, "Come in, how many beautiful date palm trees are there for Abu Dahdah in Jannah?" You know? And this is the spirit of sadaqah. This is the spirit of sadaqah, that you give and you don't care. You give and you don't care because you know Allah will always look after you. Mm-hmm. You see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, and to Akhideen, we live at a time when we are all wealthy, with all due respect. We are either affluent or rich, or we have means, alhamdulillah, beyond what our needs are. Our needs are X, but alhamdulillah, Allah has given us Y. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So all of us has, you know, more wealth than perhaps what we absolutely basically need, right? Mm-hmm. So in all truth, we become from the rich, or we become not from, at least we're not the poor. Now the hadith of Rasulullah is very clear that the poor will enter Jannah before the rich by 500 years. How so? Because, I mean, look at the difficulty Allah has given them. They don't have much money, they don't have much wealth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His justice will allow the poor to enter Jannah before the rich by 500 years. Now, this is a predicament for you and me, with all due respect. Because for 500 years, we'll be outside of Jannah. Can you imagine that? I mean, this life is of what, 30, 40, 50 years of this life. And we live in a house, and we want to go to another bigger house or better house. Mm-hmm. We can't take it that our house is run down. How are we going to stay 500 years outside of Jannah, smelling the beautiful Jannah, hearing the people and their screams of laughter and joy in Jannah, and us being prevented from Jannah? Mm-hmm. How can we do that? The Prophet said that the rich will wait outside of Jannah for 500 years before the poor, except for the one that gives in charity.